Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Robert Chapin. I'm attorney of record for Elmer and Marion Cabot. I'm joined by my son today, Edwin, who is with me on the brief. And we'll get started right off. This is a case that has been through the District Court of Morgan County now three times. This third case deals with the county's claim to an ownership of the western portion of a field lane that passes east-west through the Cabot's farmland. Cabot's own all of Section 15, 4 North, 59 West of the 6th PM in Morgan County. Section 10 lies to the north of Section 15. The county obtained some quitclaim deeds to the south 30 feet of Section 10 for a distance west from the west section line, approximately 3/4 of a mile. And the purpose of this conveyance was for the county to attempt to provide access to a private cemetery in the east 40-acre parcel of the Section 10, the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter. As I mentioned, this is the third time that this case has been to the trial court. The first two cases dealt with what we call the road case. It was a claim by the county for prescriptive easement across the Cabot's land for the entire 1 mile distance. The second case was a failed effort to condemn the north 30 feet of Section 15 to open a public road there. However, that failed because the trial court and this court affirmed that there was no public purpose for the county's efforts to open that road. As I stated, the intent then was to provide public access to a private cemetery in the southeast of Section 10.
Counsel, excuse me, if I can ask a question of clarification.
Sure.
Is the record title just refer to the sections, Section 10 and Section 15, as opposed to referring to a fence line with meets and bounds?
It referred in the record, Your Honor, to the government survey, Section 10, Section 15. There has been a decree entered in this case that established the fence line as the boundary line between Sections 10 and 15. We're here today.
And where was that decree?
That was in this case, and it was in November of 2009.
So that's okay.
And that was not
prior to that time. The state of the record was that it was the section line.
It was the section line. That's correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And does the Cabot's property, does the northern boundary of the Cabot's property coterminous with the northern part of Section 15?
It was, Your Honor, except for a section on the western end where the section line deviated to the south. And when you got to the west property line, the west section line, the extent of the deviation was 20 or so feet. The county's claim was based on these quitclaim deeds to the south 30 feet of Section 10, and that would then have come over into the Cabot's Field Road based on the section line surveyed location. This case started when Mr. Cabot and his sons erected a fence at the very west end because the landowners in Section 10 were crossing over his field road and using it as a point of access to their property in Section 10. And there was an open section in that very western end of fence where there used to be a wire gate. He put in a three-wire fence, and he did that on two occasions. And on each of those two occasions, the county came out with a crew and removed that fence.
That fence cut off the casters' access to their property?
No, sir, it did not.
It was farther east.
Plenty of other access to their property from County Road 9 on the west side.
No, I mean from the field road.
There had been the field road. It did.
It did cut off. Okay.
Yes, sir. So we're dealing with a very small area of the road. The other two cases that I mentioned included the entire 1 mile length. We're probably talking about 100 to 150 yards here where the section line started deviating from the location of the fence line on the western end of this area. The court in this case, as it finally ended up, granted the Cabot's counterclaim for a decree that determined the fence line was a boundary line based on the doctrine of acquiescence, statutory doctrine of acquiescence. And the court also concluded that the county was barred by claim preclusion from bringing this claim based on the fact that there had been two prior cases that dealt with the Cabot's ownership of this field road.
Excuse me, counsel, hadn't the case already been dismissed by the county?
Simultaneously with the granting of that decree. The county abandoned its claim and quitclaimed back these interests to Kelly, who was the owner of the middle parcel of land, and Riverview Cemetery, which was the party in the earlier cases that was the owner of the eastern parcel in Section 10.
So how does the procedural history on this third case work then? Was there a preliminary injunction granted at some point?
There was at some point, okay. And that was before the case came up to this court earlier on a basis of issue preclusion. Another panel of this court overturned that entry of summary judgment and sent it back to the trial court for further proceedings.
So there was both a preliminary injunction and then a summary judgment, which was later reversed?
Right. And then the county asked to reinstate that preliminary injunction, and that was denied.
Okay. And we're looking at an abuse of discretion standard for this final case, is that right?
You know, Your Honor, I think that there's a different standard that applies here, because we are asking that the attorney fees be assessed under 1317.102. And subsection 4 of that section says the court shall assess attorney fees if it finds that the case lacks substantial justification. That is our primary argument here, that this case did indeed lack substantial justification.
And who initially makes the determination of substantial justification?
The trial court does, of course, yes.
And what's our review of that?
Your review of that would be, according to the case law, I was able to find the abuse of discretion standard, right. And that's what we stated in our opening brief. So I mentioned that the county had been in court two times before. They had acknowledged in each of their other pleadings in those cases that Cabot's owned the field road across the northern section of Section 15, and they were asking in each of those different instances that the court grant them either a prescriptive easement or a decree of condemnation. I think the best way to describe this case, Your Honors, is to say that it was an action that was really based on futility. When the county filed this complaint and then filed an amended complaint and then repeated this in several later pleadings, they were using a false legal description of the land that they owned. I mentioned they took quitclaim deeds to the south, 30 feet of Section 10. The complaint, the amended complaint, and some other pleadings said they owned the south 30 feet of Section 15.
Any sense, because that was way onto the Cabot's. It was obviously a typographical error, wasn't it?
It was never corrected, though.
But you understood what they meant.
I understood what it meant.
They understood.
We were going to have to defend against the Cabot's land.
Well, what difference would it have made? If he had the wrong legal description, it wouldn't have affected your client.
It would not have affected him, that's correct, because it was on the south part of his property. And
be on the other side from where the field road was.
It was, but they also said it was in range 58 west. This land is in range 59 west. So
it had no impact on your client at all. So what is there any prejudice that you're alleging? In this?
No, I'm not alleging prejudice, okay. Your Honor. I'm just showing that this case started off on the wrong footing and that it was never corrected in terms of the legal description.
No one was misled by that, right?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
I know I wasn't. As I mentioned, there was a prior acknowledgement of the county in two prior cases that the Cabot's owned the field road. The result of each of those two cases was that the Cabot's ownership of that field road was confirmed, and there was no interest of the county in that road whatsoever.
Is there language in any of the opinions of the Court of Appeals that state what you just said?
Related to ownership?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. In the
Can you point to it? Or tell me where it is.
It's by condemnation action, for example, which we call Cabobal 2. The Cabobals throughout that case were identified as owners, and it was concerned with a condemnation of the north 30 feet of Section 15. And
in fact, there's no dispute that they own the north 30 feet of Section 15.
That's correct.
Thank you.
No dispute whatsoever.
I think we're talking, the dispute is on the land in Section 10, isn't it, where the...
That's correct, where the section line deviates.
And that's my question. Is there something that establishes that?
Prior to the decree in 2009, I think he means.
Yes, and I think it is, because the county said that they wanted to take over that field road in each of the two prior cases, and they alleged that Cabobals owned that field road in each of those two prior cases. At the time of those two prior cases, there was not knowledge that the section line deviated from the fence line.
Both of the cases?
Yes, okay. Both of those cases. And as I mentioned, the Cabobals were identified as owners in the case.
Owners of that specific land?
Of the field road. The field road never had a legal description attached to it. It had a general location in the very northern portion of Section 15, adjacent to the fence line and abutting the fence line.
These you're speaking of are the judgments that were ultimately entered by the trial court in the first two cases?
Or no, I'm talking about the opinion that was issued in this court in the condemnation case. The result was that Cabobals owned the field road in each of those two instances.
So, counsel, it seems to me, to go back to my earlier point then, that the trial court either had to find an abuse of discretion or, going to the statute that you cited, that the county lacked substantial justification. It did not find a lack of substantial justification, so how did it abuse its discretion?
It abused its discretion, Your Honor, because in the order that we are appealing, the April 2010 order, there was no substance in the record to support the county's findings that the case did not lack substantial justification. In the first instance, it said that it was basing its opinion on a November 2009 order where it denied attorney fees to the Cabobals. That's all that order stated. There was no reasoning, no explanation, no conclusions, no nothing related to that. And then it went back and said that it relied on the decision in Cabobal 2, which was the summary judgment overturning in the issue preclusion part of this case, supported its foundation for having substantial justification. I say that that's contradicted by the record, because prior to its making its findings, it had entered the decree that had established the fence line as a boundary line. It had also concluded that the county would be barred by claim preclusion from presenting any other evidence on that point of ownership from the two prior cases in which that point was litigated.
You never asserted claim preclusion until after this court ruled in Cabobal, the division of this court ruled in Cabobal 3, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. We went back and filed a motion for summary judgment and based it on claim preclusion and also doctrine of acquiescence to have the decree entered establishing the fence line as a boundary line, and also for attorney fees.
Prior to November 2009, there was never a ruling that claim preclusion barred the claims of the county, correct?
That's correct.
And there never was a ruling that said that the doctrines of acquiescence of title established title in the Cabobals. Is that correct?
No, sir. That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct. When you come down to the end of this case, Your Honor, it's our position, based on the record, that the claims do lack substantial justification, that they're groundless, that they're vexatious, and they're frivolous. And we're asking the court to overturn the trial court's decision returned to the bill of costs that the trial court had earlier approved for attorney fees and remanded that that bill of costs be reinstated. I'm out of time. I'm down to 15 seconds. Thank you very much for your attention this afternoon.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Good afternoon. My apologies. My name is David Butte, registration number 24491. I'm assistant county attorney for Morgan County, and I've been there almost 11 years now. And with me at council table is Tony Carlson. He's one of our current county commissioners. We're here regarding an appeal of a denial of attorney fees against Morgan County. This issue has been researched, and you know, I have thought about just standing up here and reading Judge Hoyer's opinion in order regarding attorney fees, because I believe it to be a well-researched and well-reasoned, very thoughtful order regarding attorney fees that found that there is no basis for attorney fees and denied them. The standard is abuse of discretion at this level. I don't believe there's any abuse of discretion whatsoever demonstrated by the appellant regarding this matter, and therefore this order should be upheld.
Question for you.
Yes.
I think that the Cobo Bell suggests that the course of action pursued by the county has been vexatious. And when one steps back and looks at it, it looks like the county brought a series of lawsuits, seriatim attack this, first by prescriptive easement, then by condemnation, then by trespass, always another case coming up. When you didn't succeed on one theory, you brought another. Was there some reason why the three theories weren't all brought either at the same time or at least in one case, so that they wouldn't have had to suffer the continuous exposure to their own attorney's fees?
I think in hindsight that may be a fair question.
I wasn't there when it started, so
I think part of the answer to this is there was substantial hope that this would be resolved in a maybe not amicable manner, but almost amicable manner. Now, we're talking about a field road. I don't know if you can see this very well. There's pictures, I believe, in the record, and a great map in the record, by the way, done by former county attorney George Munson. I think there was belief that the first case had merit. In fact, Judge Weatherby, who's now retired, senior judge in Morgan County, he ruled in summary judgment in the county's favor initially, and then it went up on appeal, was reversed, came back down, and since that time, of course, Morgan County has had a series of setbacks, to put it mildly. So I think that the belief was that there was merit to the first action, and could and should all those claims have been brought in one action?
Could the condemnation claim have
been brought in two pieces of land quite quickly from the casters and
Well, the quick claim deeds, the purchase of the property from the Casters and the Kellys, was to provide access to the cemetery without need of any further litigation. I mean, despite the way it may appear when one steps back, Morgan County has not been on a vendetta, has not sought to engage in protracted litigation about this parcel land. The real motivation was to give access to this cemetery. The old cemetery there, as an aside, has six or eight, I haven't been there in a little while, but six or eight marked graves, and I believe maybe a similar number of unmarked graves. There are a number of people who live in the community, especially Weldona, but also in Morgan County, who have relatives buried there. And it probably would not have been used by very many people to access that. But it was important to some people, so that was the basis of the pursuit. Yes, sir.
When did you first, well, when did the county first become aware that the Kobobles were asserting claim preclusion as a defense in this present case?
I think that was at the appellate level in this third case.
Prior appeal or the current appeal? As I recall, there have been two appeals in this case because they won on issue preclusion the first time, and we reversed that. My understanding is that there was no assertion of claim preclusion until after the division of this court issued its opinion reversing.
That's my recollection also. Okay.
So, counsel, why isn't this case vexatious?
Well, it's not vexatious because the third case is not vexatious because, as it turns out, Murphy's Law struck at every opportunity here in this case for Morgan County. But the section line, the true section line between sections 10 and 15, which runs straight east and west, the fence deviates to the north of that line into what is section 15. Excuse me, section 10, there I did it again, into the Castor and Kelly property. If you take it all the way to the road, County Road 9, I think there's 5 or 6 feet, as the survey pointed out, left between that 30-foot strip and the fence line. This third case was prompted in part also because Mr. Kobobo, or at least someone at his direction, extended the fence line. There used to be access to the Castor and Kelly property and ultimately to the cemetery along that southern end of section 10. And Mr. Kobobo extended that fence line so that there was no longer access through to the Castor and Kelly property. The Kellys, which I guess might be their own problem, certainly not, I don't think directly the county's problem, but the Kellys could have been and would have been landlocked. To my recollection from having visited the site, there aren't a lot of other access points, contrary to what Mr. Chapin said, to that property from Road 9. That, where Road W terminates at Road 9, is the primary access point to the pasture on section 10 and Mr. Kobobo's property on section 15.
Fence extension was put up in 2006 while this litigation was ongoing?
Yes, that's my recollection. It was a recent, relatively recent this case, as long in the tooth, started in 1998, I believe, but this was done from what we could determine for no other reason than to assert that this was his property and extend the fence line out to Road 9, which had not, the fence had not gone that far in the past. It had kind of jogged there where the green gate was put up in 1998 or 1997.
On this fence across the access road?
We did once or twice and then gave up when we continued to lose at the trial court level. So,
as things stand now, basically the Kobobel's property goes all the way to that fence, based on this decree that was entered in 2009.
Well, I suppose, you know, although I would also argue that I think a better rule of law is that I don't know if it was ever crystal clear where this boundary was, if it was truly the section line or the fence line. I think a better rule of law is that when one buys property without formal notice, if you buy Section 10, you're entitled to Section 10. If the fence, which happens frequently out in rural properties, if the fence drifts off the section line and nobody really has a survey to determine where that fence should be, I don't think that should determine what you own. If somebody in Dallas purchases property, how do they know? I don't think that should be held against Morgan County just because we have been involved in litigation with that property. But we purchased in good faith a strip of 30 feet on the south side of that section to try to resolve this and put it to bed, and it didn't ever quite seem to happen. So. With that, I really don't think I could ramble on for quite some time about this, but
let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Just a factual question. The record that's been presented to us does not include a copy of the county's motion to dismiss. Was there a written motion to dismiss that was filed by the county? Was that done orally at a hearing?
I don't think I have that with me either, Judge. I assume that had been done by written motion.
Do you know when that was? I mean, throw out three dates to you. I've been trying to figure this out. The Kobobos filed a motion for summary judgment, their second supplemental motion for summary judgment, which raised the claim preclusion issue on August 20th of 2009. Then the county filed a response to that, opposing that motion in fairly detailed fashion on September 16. Then another month later, on October 15, the Kobobos filed a response to the county's motion to dismiss. So I have that. So I assume it must have happened before October 15, and I'm assuming maybe after September 16. Did there come a time after the county filed its response to the motion for summary judgment that it decided it wanted to seek dismissal of the case?
Yes.
And can you, okay, you know.
I can tell you why or elaborate if you want.
I don't think I need to know why. I'm just trying to get the timing down.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to know anything that's not in the record. So if you can explain whatever's in the record on that, that'd be helpful.
I don't know if I can add much to what you already apparently know, so I'll just leave it at that.
In any event, within 2 months of when the Kobobos first raised the claim preclusion issue, the county had dismissed the case. Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Okay.
And I can assure the court that that had nothing to do with Morgan County's belief that it was a frivolous case or vexatious in any way. It was simply a change in policy.
Is there anything in the record that would support that?
I assume there wasn't anything filed about that.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I believe if anything was filed in writing, it probably just said, please dismiss this action. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you both, counsel, for your arguments. The case is submitted, and opinion will be issued in due course.